Evening, everybody. Okay. So tonight I'd like to cover two issues, Amira La'akum and Mukta. And while those are, according to almost all Meforshim and Poskim, two rabbinic aspects of the laws of Shabbos, they both have what we might call Ikar min HaTorah. Let me explain. Torah says, Kol melacha lo ye'oseh lochem. No melacha shall be done for you. Now, in some other places, it says, Lo taseh kol melacha. Don't do any work. But the Mechilta, the Medrash Halacha to this Pasuk in Shmos, the Mechilta says, Kol melacha lo ye'oseh lochem is a hint or a reference to Amira La'akum. You shall not have work done for you, even by someone who is not Jewish. Now that being said, this is especially an important psak for this time of year. That is only true once Shabbos cosmologically comes in. But if you make Shabbos early, tomorrow you make a plag Shabbos. You daven Mincha at 6:30, you daven Kabbalah Shabbos, you daven Marav, you finish at 7:30. Very nice, you can make Kiddush early. Before Shkia, not only can you ask a Gentile to do something for you for Shabbos, you can even ask a Jew who hasn't yet made Shabbos. Okay? Because it's cosmologically not yet Shabbos. Right? Can you make that a d'oraisa Shabbos? Minchas Chinuch has a huge series of chidushim about this when it comes to Tosefes Kedusha. We'll get up to that when we do. But the point though is that if we would be able to ask Gentiles to do things for us on Shabbos, it would be a day we wouldn't recognize. Right? A whole day we're having people plowing our fields, we're having people cooking for us, So whether or not what I just described is a violation of the Torah or the Rabbanon, we behave accordingly. Now, whenever we're in Hilchos Shabbos, it's the questions we get all the time, the very first thing you want to know is, does this thing violate a Rabbanon or a Doraisa? If it violates a Torah law, well, we will obviously have a more difficult time finding any kind of heter. But once it violates a Rabbanon, so the rabbis did not stand firm for their positions, let's say the Makom Tsar, a time of great, great pain, or b'makom tinokos, in the place of babies and young children, b'makom tzinim u'pachim, when it comes to getting sick from being too hot or being too cold. Of course, b'makom pikuach nefesh, and even suffik pikuach nefesh, any danger to life and limb. But so in all of these instances, we say the rabbis did not stand firm on their positions. There's a whole chapter in Maseches Shabbos called Perek Mefanin. Perek Mefanin, it's the 20th chapter. No, I'm sorry, it's the 18th chapter, the one right before Rabbi Eliezer de Mila. And in that chapter, it starts off that allowing movement of mukta or even tircha yisera, things that involve great effort and expending of energies on Shabbos for the sake of guests. I think we discussed that last week. Okay, so that's the way they have the tangent, Gedol Achnos Esorchim Ekbalos Pnei Shechina, because the Gemara there is so impressed with what the Mishnah is willing to allow for the sake of guests, right? Okay, now, with that in mind, so if Amira La'akum does have an Ikar min HaTorah, the fact is, so does Mukta. Where is the Ikar min HaTorah for Mukta? What parsha?
Mekoshe Sheitzim.
Well, I'm sorry?
Mekoshe Sheitzim?
Parshas B'Shalach.
Shalach.
The parsha of the Mon.
Of the Mon, okay.
It says, V'hechinu Esa Sher Toviyu. Make sure you prepare what you're going to bring. So even if this thing is perfectly permitted to, there's nothing inherently forbidden about it, but it has to be set aside. Shabbos is such a special day that we want to make sure we're properly prepared for it. That's called hachana. You have to have mechin. You have to properly prepare these things. a rock may not be necessarily muktzah if you prepare it in advance and use it as a paperweight or something like that. I'm sorry to, you know, the Gemara speaks of the most common use of a rock on Shabbos was to use to when wiping oneself after relieving oneself. So these things were had use, but they had to be set aside for use. Okay, all right. Well, we'll spend the last half of this time together today on muktzah. So muktzah has an ikum in the Torah. Amira la'akum has an ikum in the Torah, and in fact, very famously, the Ramban and the Ritva say that all the Rabbanons have an ikum min haTorah because of the word Shabbason. What's known as a Shvus de Rabbanon is, Ramban uses this in a few places in the Torah, is that it's the Torah's way of telling the Rabbanon, make sure that they know how to properly observe Shabbos so it doesn't look like a weekday. Now, like the Ramban says in Parshas Kedoshim, you could keep every single mitzvah of the Torah and still be a despicable rogue, what he calls a novel b'shus haTorah. So too, you can keep every one of the 39 melachos every single Shabbos and don't violate any of them or any of their toldos, and yet have a day that does not resemble Shabbos the way we know it. You're spending money, you're playing instruments, you're playing music, right? So none of those are any of the 39 melachos, but the rabbis were endowed with the ability to assure that Shabbos is properly observed. And that's known as the Shvus of the Ramban and the Ritva. Okay? Now, I've been using a particular technicality called Ikar Min haTorah. You heard me say it 3 or 4 times already. Ikar Min haTorah is, let's say, Tosefes Yom Kippur. Tosefes Yom Kippur means that Yom Kippur is observed on 3 days of Tishrei. It starts on the 9th, it extends for the entire 10th, and it ends on the 11th. The Minchas Chinuch says later that in Parshas Acharemos, that, I'm not saying Parshas Emor, that if a child is bar or bas mitzvah on the 11th of Tishrei, then they may have to fast at the end of the fast midoraisa, even though they didn't start the fast as a bar or bas mitzvah, they end the fast as a bar or bas mitzvah. It's a fascinating concept. Have to fast at the end, even though he didn't kick in the beginning. But be that as it may, Tosefes Yom Kippur, you all know, it teaches not only for Yom Kippur, but for all the Chagim. We all know that Shabbos lasts more than 24 hours, right? Why? A day is 24 hours. Let Shabbos be, come in and end at the same exact time. No, says the Halacha. You have to start Shabbos on Friday and end it on Sunday, right? That inyan called has an ikar min haTorah, but be careful. Is Beferish Gemara in Beitza Daf Lamed that says that is not considered mefurash bikra. Mefurash bikra has a higher level of a higher threshold of provability than ikar min haTorah. You can have an ikar min haTorah even though you're not mefurash bikra. What's the nafkamina? So it's an interesting thing. The Gemara in Beitza Daf Lamed that gets off in this discussion says, it brings up a concept called Mutav Yehushogagin Va'al Yehu Mazidin. Better if a person's not going to listen, that they are Beshogeg. They're violating Beshogeg and not Bemezid. They're violating by inadvertently, but not with intent. So The Gemara at first says that's only on the Drabbanan, but not a Doraisa. But then the Gemara admits, no. Even if it's a Torah law, and you know the person's not going to listen, stop trying to fulfill Hocheach Tochicha Samisecha, your potter, if you know they're not going to listen. So comes the Rosh, and the Rosh says that's only if the Pasuk isn't Mefurish Bekra. Why? Because the example the Gemara gave was Tosefes Shabbos. Remember the Gemara there in Daf Lamed? It says, if you see someone eating till it gets dark on Erev Yom Kippur, don't tell them to stop eating, because if you tell them to stop eating, you show me where it says that I have to start fasting on before it gets dark on Erev Yom Kippur. You can say, what are you talking? It's a Beferish HaGemara in Brachas, minachim in Ayarev at Ayarev and say, and tell him the drasha. He goes, no, nah, I don't hold from that. I don't know that. Right? So the Rosh asks, why did the Gemara have to bring from Tosefes Yom Kippur if it's a Doraisa? Say Yom Kippur itself. If you see someone eating on Yom Kippur and you know he's not going to listen, don't chepel with him. So comes the Rosh to say that that's why the Gemara purposely chose Tosefes Yom Kippur and not Yom Kippur. Because one is Mefurish B'Kra and one is not Mefurish B'Kra, even though it has an Ikar Min HaTorah. Okay? Then there are some Drabbanans whose very existence is not really an Ikar Min HaTorah, but Mishum Geder. We don't eat chicken with milk, not because the Torah prohibits it. According to some Shitos in the Gemara, chicken is not considered meat. And you don't even have to shech chickens midoraisa. Rather, the reason why we don't eat chicken with milk is because it's a geder, it's a fence. That's the job of the rabbis the day Moshe died. From now on, we have to build fences around the Torah. So much so that this is actually the example that the Rambam uses for Bal Tosef. Remember? The Rambam says if you call a drabanon a deoraisa, you are violating the Torah because it says lo tosifu, don't add to the mitzvahs. So if you say that chicken and milk is a deoraisa, you're violating the Torah. Okay? I heard it the Derech Tzachos once that Yitzchak told Esav v'hayoka hasher torid ufarakta ulo me'al tzavarecha. You get it? He told Esav, if your brother descends, then you can break his yoke off of your neck. But now listen, b'derech tzachos v'hayoka hasher torid. If you say there are 614 mitzvahs, not taryag, torid. If you say that there's one more than 613, then ufarakta ulo me'al tzavarecha. That's the beginning of your prikas ol, of throwing off the yoke of heaven by saying that there you're making up your own mitzvahs. Okay? All right, so the Mishnah in Chagiga says that hatoras nedarim is porchin ba'avir. Right? Last week, this week's parasha. Hatoras nedarim is porchin ba'avi. Familiar with this Mishnah, Daftes? That because it's flying in the air. There's no ikum in the Torah, and it's no mefurish in the Torah. I know Rashi says, because it says, the Rashi Hamatos teaches that one head of the tribe is allowed to mati or neder because he's probably a mumcha. All right, Shadal agrees with it in Pshat, but it doesn't seem to be mefurish b'kra. Right? Rather, the only mefurish b'kra is a man with his wife or a father with his daughter. But where is there a heter that I can matter your neder or you can matter my neder? Who said so? Porchin ba'avir. I need the drushes of Chazal to determine that. Then the Mishnah says something astounding right afterwards. Then it says, Hilchos Shabbos. The laws we're learning today. Remember what the Mishnah calls it? Yeah. It's like what?
Like a hare.
A hare holding up a mountain. Right? It's like a hare. It's as sturdy as a hare holding something up. Right? So it's not so clear for us. How do we know what a malacha is? Of course, we need Torah Shabbat Peh. Okay? So I am going about these sources, Amir Lakum. Please take it out. It's page 5 in the pages I gave you. Everyone have it from last week? Camille, you have them all?
Rabbi, what daf is it?
I'm going to post it soon.
In the
I sent out 9 pages, I believe.
It's not in the Minchas.
No, I sent out 10 pages. This is page 5. Okay.
It says Amir Lakum on top.
And it says Amir Lakum at the top. Okay. All right, so we did last week, I did the Rambam, and it says in Hilchos Shabbos that if it'll cause us to take Shabbos lightly and it'll lead to our own chilul. Rashi in Maseches Avodah Zarah, source number 2, says it's a din in Daber Davar. But no one brings this down exclusively, because if that were the case, then we'd be allowed to ask a Gentile on Friday to do things for us on Shabbos. And that only works for, remember what I said last week, heat, cold, light, dark. Right? Heat, cold, light, dark. Right? You can't hint to a Gentile, I don't have enough chicken soup, can you please put some more chicken soup on the stove for me? Or something like that. You can hint, it's getting very hot in here and some people are getting overheated, or it's freezing cold in here and stuff like that. Okay? Some say that in addition, there should be a mitzvah involved, but that just begs the point. Everything we do on Shabbos should be a mitzvah. Whatever it is, Oneg Shabbos is also a mitzvah. If it's not a mitzvah on Shabbos, we shouldn't be doing it. Right? Okay? Anyway, so then there's another shita from some Rishonim that it's mitam shlichus. All right? Because shlucho shel adam kemoso. The guy is acting on my behalf. It's as if though I'm doing it. Okay? And there's the question about Metziah Daf Tzadik, whether Amira La'akum is shayach in other Averos besides Hilchos Shabbos, but I'll leave that. Okay? Roman numeral 3 is whether it's Asur Midoraisa or Asur Midrabanan. I covered that before. Okay? But be sure that here is, I hinted at this before, is that even if the thing we're violating is a Dirabanan, Amira La'akum still applies. You know what I'm saying? Amira La'akum is not only on the 39 Melachos. In order to allow Amira La'akum, it has to be that the thing you're asking him to do for you has to be for one of the things I just mentioned. Of course, Safik Bikuch Nefesh, that goes without saying. Of course, for babies and Makom Tsar, that goes without saying. And old people, you know, a cancer patient or something like that, that goes without saying. You don't have to hint for those things. Okay? But if it's for the sake of heat, cold, light, or darkness, then it doesn't make a difference whether it's a Doraisa or Dorabanan. It applies the same. And if I don't have the permission, I don't have the right to ask a Gentile to do this thing for me, it doesn't matter whether the thing I shouldn't be asking him to do is a Dorabanan or a Doraisa. One other is a Taisvis in Maseches Shabbos that says, there's no greater tsar than for a person to have to be stuck in the house for all of Shabbos. This may have been a jab at the Karaites, right? Because the Karaites, you know, from the Pasuk in Bishalacha tells us not to go looking for the man on Shabbos. They derive, you're not allowed to go out of the house on Shabbos. Okay? And lo sevaru reish b'chom moshvasechem b'yom HaShabbos in last week's Parsha, in Vayakel, is understood by them to mean you can't even have a fire lit from before. Okay? All right, number 5. So what happens if a Gentile did indeed do malacha on Shabbos? Can we have some benefit from it? So can we have some benefit from it ourselves afterwards? And the answer is no. Shulchan Aruch really unequivocally says no. Adarava, the proof of that matter is mitam muktza usually, or mitam gzeira. Even if the fruit fell from the tree on Shabbos, I can't use it. A Gentile didn't pick it. It fell by itself. All right? Pashut ma'od. Okay? Now, there are 3 different levels of Hanan, Roman numeral 6, that we speak of when it comes to Mir La'akum. One is a direct cook food, open light. Right? If it's a direct Hanan, then you have to make go out of your way not to benefit from it. If a Gentile opens a light only for you, then you should not benefit from it. That's the Gemara I mentioned last week where Shmuel left the room when the Gentile opened the light for him. But when he saw that the Gentile read something in the room himself, he said he went back to read. He said, okay, I did not check off it. But if he presses the button for you, let's say only for you in the elevator, I have to malamed tzchus because I know that a lot of people are doing this. The limud tzchus is that maybe if they didn't do that, they'd be stuck at home. I don't know. My kids are about to move to the 12th floor. I told them they know what the halacha is, right? They were able-bodied. They're quite well, right? Now, guests, maybe not. You know, right? But if the alternative is now there's sometimes going up in the elevator is the best alternative, because every floor you go on there's a light that switches on as you go upstairs. Now, we talked about this last week also, incremental lights and things like that, but okay, we did that. The second level is indirect hanah from the Gentile. Okay, an indirect hanah is when he shuts a light. If you're trying to sleep and the light is very bright and the Gentile closes the light so you can sleep better, you don't have to leave the room for that. It's an indirect hanah. Okay? You got it? If the fires were left on in the kitchen before Shabbos and you have some help, they're allowed to close the fires. You didn't ask them to. They just closed the fires. That's okay. They were too hot in the kitchen, and closing the fires made them, cooled them off a little. You following?
Why, if they're shutting the light specifically to let you sleep, and they're getting no benefit, the only reason why they're doing it is so that you can sleep. Why is that permissible?
So the Gemara, it seems to ask your question directly, and the Gemara says that the first case is much more likely to lead to you violating Shabbos also, the second case not. And since this whole thing is really to prevent Shabbos from being violated and prevent Shabbos from being like looking like a Yom Chol, so when it comes to him just shutting it off, so all right, you just shut it off and shine, it's finished. Right? As long as, of course, you can't turn it back on. We talked about this a little less because of. Then there's something in the middle where there's like an additional benefit. So if it's for him and someone else, then like it adds light to an existing light or something like that. So then it's okay. Okay. Now the Mechaber rules in Siman Reisha involved in the Shabbos. That if a Gentile did Malacha on Shabbos for himself, right? So we have to just be careful of one thing, if we're going to have hanah from whatever it is, shema yarbe bishvilatz bishvilo, that if the Gentile may add more to this thing for you, if he gets used to doing that, he goes beyond what he was doing for himself for your sake. So what's known in the Gemara, you ever hear of it? Ner le'echad, ner le'mea. Now that's not necessarily exactly true. Ner le'echad can read. You know, you can't have 100 people reading from one candle. Ner le'echad can mean mea neros le'mea. But whatever it is, if it indeed is the same amount of light, then of course there's no problem.
Rabbi?
Do it anyway.
Rabbi?
Yes?
Yeah, just coming back for a second to the elevator question.
Can you? I'm not hearing. I'm not hearing.
I'm sorry. Is that better? I mean, is this
maybe
better?
It's mine. Yeah. Now I hear you.
Okay. So, why isn't the elevator a shvus and a miro would be okay if you're going up to have some mitzvah Shabbos?
So I think we addressed that before. Is that when it comes to permitted amira lakum, it doesn't matter whether it's drabanan or doraisa. When it comes to forbidden amira lakum, it doesn't matter whether it's a drabanan or doraisa. But you're right in one area. You're right is that if we can mitstarev amira lakum and shvus to one other thing,
the mitzvah,
grama, maybe makom tzar, you're stuck at home otherwise, things like that. It could be that is preferable to some kind of psikresha denichale from a from stairwell lights, where the alternative is that you're stuck at home. Tosfos said in the Shulchan Aruch Paskin this way that being stuck at home because of whatever circumstance there may be is allows mira l'akum, especially if you can set it up beforehand. Okay, and this is a davar pashut where I remember I said heat, cold, because you have it's a Maisa B'chol Yom in Borough Park, where you have in the dead of winter Gentile superintendents who are putting up steam on a Friday night when all of a sudden it gets very cold, right? Now, there's a Mishnah in the Seches Machshirin that says that that's a big no-no if more than 50% of the people that you're doing it for are Jewish, right? So I say Borough Park because there you have, I know where my mother-in-law lives. There's not one apartment I ever see, not with a big, big mezuzah. You know, every single person in the building. You don't want to live there if you're not from. Right? So the point is, you have, and I know that the super is a Gentile, a Russian guy, and he's, I think one time they had a super that they found out was a Russian Jew. But anyway, that's where that is allowed, even though it's predominantly Jewish. Okay. All right. So the thing to say when these things are mutter are things like the lights on and I can't sleep, right? It's freezing cold and I need it to be warm, or it's where everyone's getting heat exhaustion in the room. See that, you know, right? The food on the stove is burning. Okay. It has to be b'derech remiza, but not b'derech tzibud. Okay. Don't specifically ask for help, right? Don't mention the malacha, right?
What? Just out of curiosity, why is that?
I think that's where Rashi's daber daber kicks in, right? Remember, you don't want to mention the actual malacha that you're asking to do. It makes another shinui.
Does the Shulchan Aruch have a separate like simon on this, on Amir al-Akum? The follow-up, is there like a definitive work?
Yeah, there are whole scarum on Amir al-Akum.
I would imagine there are. I'm curious if
Yeah, no doubt. At the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, Reish Ayin Vav, there's this simon on Amir al-Akum. Okay, so now in the B'makom Mitzvah, if we can find what's called a Shvus de Shvus or Amira la Amira is what people justify in getting papers on Shabbos. If you get the paper on Shabbos morning sent to your door, so it's because the person, the Gentile you called, and the rove of the people that you call for this are Gentiles, and the rove of the people that are delivering the paper are Gentiles. You don't have to call a company and make sure that your delivery boy is not Jewish. Chances are, at least in New York, the person who's sending it to your door is probably a doorman or someone like that, right? And someone's just leaving 20, 30 papers down in the lobby. And there's probably three levels of separation from the one you called to have a paper. You just went online and pressed a couple of buttons and now the paper's coming. So that person who takes that information is going to call someone else. It's going to call someone else. That's called Amira la Amira. You told one Gentile who told another. And once removed, so that's known as Amira la Amira in Islam.
If you have more than one doorman, can you tell one to tell the other to do something? That Amira la Amira?
That's Amira la Amira. Yeah.
But also, don't you don't tell the when they have to deliver it on Saturday.
Yeah, that too. I mean, that's what we
say. But the paper is printed on Shabbos. I mean, it's made.
That's a different issue. That
goes with like if you're doing overnight mail and you're sending a piece of information that you know has to arrive on Saturday morning for your business. I tell people that you should prefer to ask someone else in your firm to send such a mail. You don't have to lose your job over that because that's the next topic. You see number 9. Hefsed Meruba, Dvar Mitzvah, Makom Tzar, Kavod Abrios. Right? So Hefsed Meruba, listen, if these things were absolutely usher, Hefsed Meruba would not justify. That's the nature of the Drabanans. Okay. That depends on what's absent Meruba. I have terrible feet, and there was an amazing sale on shoes that Mamash saved my back, you know. But I saw it online. I said the sale's going to be over by, I'm sure, by after 3 weeks. But okay, it's not a big Hefset Meruba. After Labor Day sale, we'll have another sale.
Poorly fitting shoes are a great czar.
Yeah. Because the shoes I have now are pretty good. I just wanted them, you know, down the line. Every Hefset Meruba is, of course, subjective. Okay. Bar Mitzvah, we discussed. The Redi Makom Tzar, we discussed. Cover the Brios. This is a big sugya on Daf Yud Tes in the Maseches Brachos that says that all Drabbanans fall away the Makom Cover the Brios. Not Doraisas. The Doraisas are, remember, in Chochma Bein Tzvuna, right? The Drabbanans is Godel Cover the Brios. Shadocha lo sase shabatora lav delo tasa.
The Shatnez
case there. Right? That's the Shatnez command. Okay, so all right, now Ben Ashmashos is you're allowed to it says in the Bamei Madlikin that you can separate the Mai because the Mai itself is already a Drabbanan. So that's just to mention that. 11 is a psik resha. And as I said before, that when a mira la'akum is allowed, it doesn't matter whether it's drabanan or deraisa. And when it's not allowed, it doesn't matter whether it's a drabanan or deraisa. Right? Now, a psik resha is that as long as the Gentile can do this thing beheter, it doesn't matter that he's almost surely going to do it be'isr. Example might be, if I give my car to someone 5 minutes before Shabbos and say, I need this work to be done on the car and I would like to have it on the first thing Monday morning and Sunday is New Year's Day. Right? So you're pretty sure that he's not coming in on Sunday. He's a very devout Christian and Sunday is Easter Sunday. You know he's not coming in Sunday to do it. So you know that if it is indeed ready on Monday morning, that he's going to do it on Shabbos. But since he has the option to do it on Shabbos, so that's what makes it mutter. Okay? Clear? As long as you can do it. Okay? Chola need not be said. Everything goes. Amira l'amira, I think we just discussed that. Okay, mitzvah derabim, michshol derabim, all those things are permitted. A michshol derabim, example the Gemara gives is where the Eruv falls in the middle of Shabbos, you can ask a Gentile Mamish to build it back. Okay. But Tzorech Mila, that is...
To fix it?
Yeah, to fix it on Shabbos. Yeah.
It's not a question of if it's good when Shabbos comes in. That's just a question of Chazakah. If you know for a fact it's not good on Shabbos, then it's not
right.
Good.
If you know it went down, but while that being said, Aaron, since Erevin is usually in a Drabbanan situation, the halacha is that you don't have to go and announce it to the, hear you to everybody in Tannersville that the Erev is down. You just, let it go. Whoever finds out about it finds out. But since Shabbos started, get the Erev up. Right?
They can rely on the chazaka.
Yeah. We do. I mean, this works in so many areas of halacha, where if you should have known about a reisa, then you should be zohir for the reisa, like snowing and sleeting and in your experience, the Erev almost always comes down with this kind of weather. So then, yeah, okay, all right. So. I think the what I have left is the Torah Mila, Kablan, Schiyom, Marasayan. I would like to, when it comes to the main thing here probably is the living maids or babysitters or things like that, is that if as long as they have the option to do it in a permitted way, they can even do it in a prohibited way. Okay, that's what we did. I think that came up last week.
Is there some exception, though, if it's like the Farhesia, like this comes right. up in a public case?
Yes, if you have a neighbor downstairs who's going to hear the vacuum cleaner upstairs on Shabbos, you're from neighbor, and that's good. That's not good.
Or if you have a home that's being built or something, and the Koblin can do it whenever he wants, or you don't want him to do it on Shabbos, but he does it on Shabbos, but everyone can see that he's doing it on Shabbos.
Right, right. But if the home is someplace deep in the woods of Sacket Lake, and no one's walking by there on Shabbos, right, as long as he's a Koblin, tell him finish it to a time, you do it the day you want.
Right.
Okay. I do have it here. The Otzer Yisrael under the heading of Beis HaKnesses. Now, the Otzer Yisrael was written in 1913, and it was the first major encyclopedia, and it was, you know, it's one of Eisenstadt's Otros. Familiar with him, right? Otzer Kuno, Otzer Dinim, Otzer.
Did many people contribute to it, or does it have one author?
No, many contributors. So under the heading Beis HaKnesses in Volume 2, he writes that here in New York, L'davonenu, most shuls have to be built on Shabbos because of the Blue Laws. Except that one shul of Rabbi Dr. Hillel Klein on 116th Street that refused to be built on Shabbos to great, great expense. And he writes that Ungarin, he says that, you know, congregation Ungarin, Oyev Tzedek, and so maybe next week I'll send it out.
You have to say that from the pulpit. You have to mention that.
Yeah, he gives a little shout out there to the Anshe Ungarin and the Oyev Tzedek. Yeah, I'll write down a note. Basic message.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I have a first edition of it. It's really it's almost falling apart a little bit. But it's
you can work it into the renovations or something. You know,
right. That's not gonna happen. Okay.
Well said.
Okay. So let's go to Muktzah now, if that's okay. Now, it's also in my handwriting. So I gave a chart, but this chart was originally the size of a poster board. So if you can, it's page 6, the page right after this one. And if you just look how to use this chart, across the top are eight categories. You see here that says, Kalim Shemalachim Isser, Muktamach Mas Chesrim Kis, Muktamach Mas Gufo, Muktamach Mas Isser, Muktamach Mas Mitzvah, Muktamach Mas Nolad, Basis Ladavara Asr, and Muktamach Mas Mius. Right? So you go down the right side, I have a brief description of these eight things, examples of them, and then different ways to move. Now, there are three different movements in the laws of Muktzah. One is the tzorech gufo. I want the thing itself. Now that's going to be a problem because it's Muktzah, but let's see. Two, I don't want the thing. I want the table where this iron is, you know, this hairdryer is resting, you know, this sewing machine. You know, it's sitting on the kitchen table. I'm having guests later. And I don't want to just tip the table and let it fall on the floor. What can I do about this? So that's the tzorech makomo. And then there's a third standard known as mechama letzel. That's the Gemara's lashon, mechama letzel. That could be many different things. Literally, it means from the sun to the shade. Basically, it means that if it's left in the sun, it will be destroyed. Mechama letzel can mean it's in the rain. My baseball glove was left out. It's starting to rain. And you know what happens to a baseball glove if it gets waterlogged. Right? Okay, so that's called Nechama Letzel. And then at the bottom is called Tiltul Minatzad, which asks, can I move this thing with my foot or my elbow or my wrist, you know, the back of my hand? That's called Tiltul Minatzad, which is a classic of Shinui. And then at the bottom, I have some notes. Okay, you may have to take off your glasses to read these notes here. Okay. All right, so let's take a look. Let's try to get into this. So a brief description of Kelim Shemlachim Le'Isser is that its main use, right, is for something that's awesome.
Like a drill.
A drill is a tough one. I didn't put a drill on this, but a drill, I think it definitely a kli. Kelim Shemlachim Le'Isser is because it's a kli, and a kli is usually allowed to be moved on Shabbos. But if the question is the only use of it, the main use of it, right, is for something that's usser. No one's using a drill to pull wax out of his ear, right? Even if it's not plugged in, right? You know, no one's using a drill to, you know, to scoop out, you know, the corner of the kugel, right? In the corner of the dish, right? But some of these other things, for instance, a hammer, I don't know, I've never used it for that, but I've seen people use a hammer to crack walnuts, right? Or
not a nutcracker?
A Brazil nut, maybe, or something like that, right? Okay. A needle is usually used for something lesser, to sew. But it can also be used to remove a splinter, which you're allowed to remove the chatchila, by the way.
Can you remove a splinter? A splinter?
Remove a splinter, even though it may bleed. Not all removal of splinters necessarily cause bleeding. Okay. So, Shabbos blech. What can you use a Shabbos blech for? I don't know. Put it on the table and put something on top of it. I don't know. Put the hot soup bowl on it. Okay, a scissors, a wallet, these are things that generally, right? Okay. All right, now we have, I wrote down some notes here that we shouldn't use these things. Like, you shouldn't use a hammer to crack nuts if you have a nutcracker, for goodness sakes. Right? Okay. All right, so it's mutter to move all these things when used in a permitted fashion. Now, the Be'er Moshe of Moshe Stern says an incredible chiddush. He has a chiddush in Hilchos Shabbos that makes it so that even your drill can be moved on Shabbos. Why?
Paperweight?
Yeah, they're all paperweights.
Oh, come on.
Yes, they can all be used as paperweights. And you would think that then paper is, you know, blank paper should be mukta. No, because a blank piece of paper can be used as a bookmark.
Right.
That actually has some base to it, but again, because the drill, it's like saying your because it would be the opposite. Because if it was mukta, you'd be able to move it because it's a valuable instrument. And
okay, now we're going next. Good. If it becomes something that. You know, in other words, let's say there's a bunch of papers on the table and the wind the window is open now and the wind just starts blowing all the papers away. And the only thing to put on top of it is a drill. You might do that. I don't know.
I think it's, well, first of all, why would the drill be out? But even leaving it outside.
You wouldn't go, hey, go to the closet, give me a drill. Or put on this tape. No, you'd sort of right. A knife.
But again, because the drill is a valuable instrument, it's not your first impulse.
No, of course not. But if the drill is right there, that's what it is. Someone left it on the table, and now the guests are coming in 15 minutes.
Right.
And I didn't realize it's there. So, you know, tipping the table, letting it fall on a pillow. Okay, if you're able to.
But that's Tzarich Makomo is the drill.
Yes. But here it's Kli Shemelachta L'Isser. I want to use it for itself. The Gufo, right? So that's the first one. Mutter. The Tzarich Makomo is also Mutter. Eva.
Because that's really indirect. I mean, that's not Meleches Machshavas. Tzarich Makomo.
No, but there's Mutter. It's not.
No, but you don't want it. You want the place under it.
Yeah, I mean, you see the note I wrote in Tzorach Makomo is that just not looking Shabbos dick is not considered enough to be Matir Tzorach Makomo. You should have taken care of this before Shabbos. But
let's say you actually need the place. Like you have something that's on the buffet and you want to move it so you can put the food on the buffet.
If you can find any kind of use for it, that of course is Mutter on Shabbos, it's to do that thing, to put something.
But do you need to find a use for it if you're doing it Letzorach Makomo and not Letzorach Gufo?
So.
Now, let's say you have no use for it, but you don't want it. You just want to clear the space.
Right, that's the inherent nature of a klish malachto le'isr. Is that
right,
the main use of this kli is for something also. That means, since the Gemara says its main use, right, esek ha'ikari, that means it has other esek, which is inherently permitted on Shabbos. What is that thing? So that's the bare motions chiddush, you know. He said paperweight. So he says, yeah, Tzorach Makomo means it's mutter.
Rabbi, isn't there some inyan Tzorach Makomo? Like the drill's sitting on the table. Doesn't the table count as basis?
So that we get up to number seven, line seven, okay. Yes, if it's the only thing on the table.
But wouldn't the drill be a muksa machmas sarin kis?
I think you mentioned that before. Yes, maybe if it's something so valuable that you would never ever use.
Aaron only uses very high quality tools.
No, my question was: I thought you needed to find the other use for it only if it was tzorach machmas gufo. Not Makomo, because Makomo, the whole thing was indirect. You didn't really care about the drill at all for Makomo. You just were looking to get the place cleared.
Right. But yeah, it still has to,
you don't have to actually
put it on top of papers in front of a window in order to do that. It just has to have that it's like okay. A migu. Since it has that possible use, its mukta status is weakened. And therefore, you can remove it.
Has this been accepted, the halacha, the shita?
Yeah, I see it used. Remember, Shimon doesn't have mukts at all, but yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah. Okay.
So, mechamal etzel, however, is also. But if you'll need it later that Shabbos, then you can move it now. Okay. It's not considered like a hachana that he's using it later, you know, between mincha or before shal shuddas or something, and he moves it to lunchtime. Okay, so if the tiltum in atzad says that if this hefsed involved can move it agav davar acher, Rav Moshe Feinstein says I alluded to that before, that you know to take the drill and to just you know tip the table and let it fall on the floor, you can just now lose an $80 drill by doing that. So that's the okay. As opposed to, let's say something else. Let's say mukta machmas chisron kis is going to be more usher for the reasons that Howard was asking before. Because when something is mukta machmas chisron kis, so we withhold this thing from use for the fear of the monetary loss. So it becomes really, really removed from your mind more than the drill, the scalpel, the mole's knife,
the
shulchan's knife. The clothes to return to a store, expensive camera. I don't know if people have that even. Jewelers.
Oh, yeah. Well, real photographers still use it.
Yeah.
The digital.
What about a wallet full of money? an actual key.
Yeah, I don't know if that's because that doesn't have the like an inherent value that you're. So
right.
It's no.
Isn't that the contradiction of money? It has nothing.
Right.
It's just like a belief.
You can't use a $100 bill for a pigeon of bin.
Right. Okay.
It's right. It's just it's a convention that we have that this actually has value.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. So therefore, an cheson kis may be dependent on the owner, right? And a kli shemalachto leiser, shemalachto leheter, can never be considered moktzamach mescheser from peace, even if it is very valuable. Right? Okay. It's inherently mutter. A cake knife that has a diamond in the end is not a moktzamach mescheser from peace because it's not mukta. All right, but you see, it's really usher down the line. Muktamach Maschesun Kis is one of the most mukta things because the person really has a hesach das from it. The scalpel should not be used even to cut something the heter. Because no one would ever use a scalpel to cut.
I know. Yeah.
No one, you know, my son does shechita in Israel. And he has this shofet knife that like he sharpens it all the time with this very expensive Japanese stone. You ever see these stones that like it's really a,
yeah.
The knife can cut paper in midair. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So no, you're never going to use that in, you know, to cut cake or you know, something else. Okay. So let's take a look at the next one. Muktamach mas gufo. This is also, as you can see down the line, very usher. That it's not muchan by its very nature. It's a stick, it's a rock, it's a candle, it's discarded items. It was discarded before Shabbos, a cigarette, broken kalim, things like that. So, right? Right? If it's a sefer, if it's a usable kli, or if it's food, it can't be in this category.
What happens if you like drop the kalim on Shabbos, then it smashes. So you have shard.
That might be muktzamach mas mius, which is mutter down the line.
You don't
have to let the broken glass sit there on the floor. You
know? Right.
Yeah, it's also a danger, and it might be like, I guess, not like a, there's this, the Graf Shel Rei.
Graf Shel Rei, what's called. You see at the top on the corner when I give the brief definition. Okay, so then there's muktamach mas iser. I like to say philosophically that this should be the most usher thing in the world, because if God says in the Torah this thing is usher, what could be more mukta than something that's usher? Like shatnez, orula, kilaya kerem, bas v'cholav, chametz on Pesach, the haraya, what are you supposed to do if you find chametz on yontif? Not cholamoed, because there's no din of mukta on cholamoed, but if you find chametz on Yontif, or Shabbos, or Pesach, what do you have to do?
Cover the bowl or something?
You have to cover it. You can't scoop it up and throw it away. But someone might come to eat this thing. I don't care. It'll be b'shogeg. But if you move it, this will be b'mezid. Don't move this until it's no longer mukta. Okay? So that's what's called muktamach mas iser. And it's also down the line. There's no tzorach gufo. What tzorach can there be? Okay. Mishnah Berurah brings two deos in this, and he paskins the chumrah. It's also machmas gufo, makomo, it's all the way down. Okay, generally, if something is also the tzorach makomo, it's going to be also mechama letzel. Chama letzel is the most machmir of all of the laws of mukta, unless there's a significant monetary loss. But then again, from what we said before, if you left your baseball glove out and it's about to rain, so take it in and put it on top of some paper so it doesn't fly away in the wind. Right? Okay. Mukta machmas mitzvah. This thing is reserved for a mitzvah. So, but full disclosure, even during the week, one shouldn't use this thing for anything but the mitzvah. But as you see, all down the line, it's very mutter. Very mutter. A lulav on Sukkos, a megillah on Purim, a shofar on Rosh Hashanah. It's mutter to move these things if they are sitting on the table on Shabbos. Obviously not on Yontif. Of course you have to move the shofar and the lulav in there, right?
If you keep a shofar in the house, you know, nearby, like during the year, are you making a distinction between Shabbos around Shabbos on Rosh Hashanah and some other Shabbos?
Absolutely. The Gemara says that the shofar is mukta only one Shabbos a year and only in the years when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So you can move it on another Shabbos if you need to.
Right. You know, I told you the Rebbetzin has a 9 p.m. Amuna program, so I'm going to let her on. I'm going to leave it a little early, but I love how fast this hour goes.
And, yeah, very fast.
Baruch Hashem, the Rebbetzin started her treatment today, and she did very well today. So I hope that
very good.
Continues in that direction. And Mirtz Hashem, we should hear the Seres Tovos. We have every day now. It's tomorrow. It's every day until we finish. So, there's the sham. I'll be able to give you good news. Okay, everybody, have a great night.